Hey everyone, it's Jefferson Graham. You're listening to the iPhone Photo Show. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at SmugMug. Make sure to stay tuned all the way to the end. I will announce the winner of the December iPhone Photo Team Photo Contest. And we had a lot of really great entries this month. SmugMug is a place for you to sell prints, for you to show off your online portfolio, for you to run your website, for you to back up all your photos. There's a lot there. Be sure to check out their free two-week trial at smugmug.com. And now, on with the show. Hi, everybody. I'm Jefferson Graham, and I'm here today with George Rose. He is my special guest on today's episode of the iPhone Photo Show. George is a longtime photographer who shoots wine, shot sports, shot rock and roll. He's got 40 portraits in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We even worked together on some articles once upon a time at USA Today. But today we're talking about the iPhone because George takes amazing photos on his iPhone every morning of Solvang, California. And he's been posting a lot of them on Facebook and I love them. And I just thought it'd be cool to talk to George. Hi, George.
Hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
Long time.
Yeah, so we're a long way from those USA Today years, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I think you just posted some of your favorites from the 80s. Jay Leno and Orville Reckenbacher, and who was the other one?
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah, and cool. I set up a makeshift studio in my backyard in LA, and he was kind enough to come over and he saved some time on his end and I saved time on my end and we shot the photo shoot in my backyard.
And Reckenbacher, I think you were throwing popcorn in the air or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Orville, the king of popcorn. Really great mix of assignments, lots of celebrities. I didn't really do news for USA Today, but definitely the celebrity beat and many of my pictures graced your articles.
Once upon a time, you would walk into meeting the celebrity, which of course they gave you 5 to 10 minutes. You would set up two or three lights, I assume. You would have your light meter. You would have your camera. You would have a big lens. You had multiple lenses. You had multiple cameras. And you had to do it all very quickly. Can you imagine how things have changed since then?
Oh, my. I mean, my back still aches from those days. The amount of equipment that you had to drag in to do photography back, at any of the newspapers and also USA Today. And I did work for Rolling Stone and Time and Newsweek. There was just a demand for a certain level of quality. And you had the light scenes, you had to bring in lighting. Sometimes I would have an assistant, sometimes I'd have makeup people. But I really love the days now where I can walk around with a really incredible computer in my pocket that has a fantastic camera and it makes life easy. It saves my back from pain. I love those days, but I have moved on for the most part. I still shoot a lot of images, landscape images on what I call a real camera. But the iPhone, the quality of the iPhone just keeps getting better and better. And I love it, especially on my walks.
I think people have heard me talk about my recent trip to Paris where I just went there with two iPhones and two pockets. And yeah, I would leave the hotel in the morning without a camera around my neck. And I wouldn't come back till 9 o'clock at night. And it was the most freeing experience, you know?
Yeah, it is freeing. Absolutely. It's a little... it's a little scary to walk out, let's say in Paris, without a couple of cameras around your neck that you can, you know, zoom and do wide angles. But I got to tell you, your pictures were awesome from Paris.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I got to go to Paris armed with just an iPhone.
Well, I think if somebody had been paying me, if I was doing a wedding, an elopement, an engagement shoot, a portrait for a publication, I would have had the camera, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw people doing it and I did miss it, but it was also kind of a fun experiment. So let's talk about your early walks. You are patrolling the streets of Solvang, California, right?
Well, I moved from Healdsburg up in Sonoma County down to Solvang, California in 2015. And my wife is from the area, and you know, we love tourist towns. What can I say? I've almost always lived in or around a tourist town where people come in, and there are shops and restaurants and brew pubs and all kinds of activities. And so what I like to do, especially pre-COVID and now post-COVID, is to walk around freely. I did document the town of Solvang, which is a Danish, it's a very small Danish community, Danish-themed community. And people from all over the world come here, and especially for their baked goods and the Abel skivers and all of the carrot cake and the sugary things. But the fun thing is to just get out and wander around with my phone camera and take pictures of people and things. And, you know, recently I kind of took aim at the holidays. This is also known, this town is known as the most Christmassy town in California. And hell, they even shoot Hallmark movies here. So yeah, it's kind of fun to get out and about. There's never a dull day. And the subject matters are always fun. And what's cool is, if I had been wandering around with my real cameras around my neck, it would have been a little intimidating. But because I wander around with a phone in my hand, and I ask people if I can take their pictures if I need to do something like that, they love it because they can relate to it. They've got one in their hand. It's a very Instagrammable town. It's a very Instagrammable community. And the scenic beauty of Solvang, which is also located right in the heart of Santa Barbara wine country, is great to just jump off and go do all kinds of things. You can feed ostriches, and you can go out and do wine tastings. There's at least 25 or 30 wineries within walking distance here of Solvang, and you can really spend a day or two exploring. And it's just, for me, this is how I get my exercise. Number one, I'm satisfying my doctor's requests that I get out and I move about, and I love taking pictures. It's become my go-to camera, especially when I'm wandering around town. And I do the same thing down in Santa Barbara from time to time. I might go take a walk down in the marina or the harbor or down along State Street. It's becoming more and more my go-to. And I have a really great, quick, easy way to deal with all the photography that I'm collecting on my iPhone. I am a Getty photographer, a Getty contributing photographer. I have almost 65,000 images on the Getty server. And, you know, a lot of those from the USA Today years, and 20 years of working in the wine industry. You know, the little detour that I took after I was done with the celebrities and sports and all of that, I ended up working in the wine business. I was vice president of communications for Kendall Jackson Winery. And so photography has always been right at the heart of everything that I do. But now that I'm in my golden years, I really do enjoy taking my walks with my phone buddy.
Okay, so Solvang, for those of you who haven't put it together, is on the 101. It's in between LA and San Francisco. It's in between LA and Pismo Beach. It's right up the road from Santa Barbara, about, 45 minutes to an hour, maybe?
It's about 35 minutes north of Santa Barbara. And
Anderson Pea Soup.
It's Anderson Pea Soup. I've been going to Anderson's Pea Soup for years. It was always a stop every time we were on the highway. You know, since I was in the wine business, I got to know the region pretty well. And I still do a little bit of work for winery owners that want me to come and photograph their vineyards. And I do use my Canon 5D Mark III 24 megapixels, et cetera, et cetera. I have to deliver extraordinarily high quality for a lot of their uses. But I got to tell you, I've got a really great system down with my phone, and I can provide large format images on an iPhone.
Okay. Now, before you tell us about the format, because I can't wait to hear it, but you've got an iPhone 12 Pro Max, right?
Yes.
You skipped the 13 and you skipped the 14.
I haven't gotten to them, and because I now am aware there's a 15 coming.
Right.
So, when it comes to technology, I've never been somebody that just races out and gets, you know, to be the first one. I'm not the early adopters by any means, but I did go from an iPhone 6 to a 12.
Wow. Okay. And
yeah. So I revved it up. Even my wife did the same thing. And we understand the differences between those days and these days. I still need to be sold on the 14, or even the 13 for that matter. But as people will start telling me about the 13 and 14, it'll be time to buy the 15. So
Right. The thing is, if you don't buy it in September, the next thing you know, it's January, and you say, well, geez, should I buy it now or should I wait? I mean, I could close my eyes and open them and there'll be a new phone, right?
Yeah, that's very true. And I don't know. I mean, from all what I've read, there's very incremental differences.
To go from the 12 to 14, I'm trying to remember, you have the 13 millimeter ultra wide.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you have the regular wide, and then you have a 65, I think it's a 65 millimeter telephoto. So yeah. we have 77. So we get a little closer.
Okay. Yeah. And how is that resolution on that telephoto? Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's really good.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the wide angle is absolutely stunning for landscape photos, and the regular lens I use all the time for portraits and things like that. I just got around to buying the latest Mac Pro laptop, so I'm current now on technology at Apple with the M1 chip, but now I understand they're coming out with the M2. So,
right. I think it's out, but back to your phone. Are you a naked shooter? Do you put anything on your phone? Do you have a grip, a gimbal, anything, or do you just pull it out of your pocket?
No, I just pull it right out of my pocket. And I guess the process of pulling it out of my pocket cleans off the lenses, so there's nothing on it. I mean, you know, it's just it just comes right out, and I'm up and taking pictures immediately. And I don't take just one. You know, I mean, I just I take a lot of different angles and play with things and play with the focus and play with the exposures. And I do love the versatility of being able to control a lot. And I love the editing function on the iPhone.
Do you shoot in the regular Photos app, the camera app?
Yeah, I do. And I save them entirely different. I mean, if you want to get into that.
Yeah, let's do your format. Give me your workflow. So you're first of all, what time do you go out in the morning? Is it 6 a.m.?
I'm out right as the sun rises. And then I'm also out there as the sun sets. I try to take two different walks during the day. For your listeners, I'm pulling about 4 to 5 miles a day. I just turned 70, and I'm a fit of health. Okay. I think that walking is really one of the great exercises, and to be able to combine my walking with my photography or love of photography, it just makes it all the better.
I'm with you. Same thing every day, right? It's a lot of fun. And
I live near your photography down there at the beach, man. I know exactly what the weather is down there.
Yeah, I vowed 2 years ago I was never going to take a picture of the Manhattan Beach Pier again, but that didn't go very long.
It changes every day, doesn't it?
It changes every day. The colors, the light. We're talking at the end of the year, and the sunsets are just unbelievable at this time. I mean, so it's really great. So you're going to go out and you're going to shoot, what, 20 to 50 photos every morning?
Yeah. So I come back with all of that on my phone, and I plug it straight into my computer and move it into Lightroom. And it's quick, it's easy. And I'm really comfortable working on Lightroom because, after 65,000 images at Getty, you get really good at working in Lightroom and getting good at working in it fast. And it adds a little bit more dimension. Because a lot of my iPhone photography, a lot of my phone photography goes to Getty, believe it or not. The quality.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So they don't have rules about no smartphone photos or anything like that.
No, the photography has to be good. And that's the beauty of the phone, is it is good. And the resolution, as I save it specifically in a Getty format, you know what? Some people would never be able to tell the difference, quite honestly. Certain circumstances, telephoto, et cetera, the resolution starts to fade, and then it starts looking a little bit like an impressionist painting. But everyday people portraits, stuff on the street, I shoot that stuff and I move it into Getty. No one has ever said, oh my God, what's the matter with these people? Because they look really good, and they look just exactly as if I had taken them on a real camera and saved them, at 300 DPI.
So the only things you can't do is high action sports and some nighttime shots will not work out. Right.
Yeah, the moon one of the fun things about social media is everybody loves taking pictures of the moon with their phone. And, that's a no, at least with the iPhone 12. You can take pictures of the moon at certain times, for example, when the moon just comes up over the horizon. But to just sit there and take a picture of the moon full on straight into it, the moon is incredibly bright. It just blasts the pictures. You need a real camera if you're going to be shooting the moon. And you probably need a telescope if you really want to shoot the moon.
Right. So you come home, you plug the phone directly into the Mac from your Lightning to USB-C, and you open up Lightroom, and then the phone shows up as a storage device, and you yank the photos off, save it, create a catalog or a gallery or what do we call those things?
I copy everything into multiple files of various sizes for all eternity. And what's fun is to take the phone photos and save them as a TIFF file. And you get this incredible maximum, you get a 64 megabyte file. And there is also a function on my phone to turn on if I wanted to shoot photos as a 64 megabyte file. The hard drive on the phone or the storage on the phone would fill up rather rapidly. So I do that on the back end. And the quality of the image captured on the phone and then translated through Lightroom. And I just do minimal tweaks. I do cropping. I really do not try to manipulate the color or move people's heads around or any of that stuff. Not that you can do that in Lightroom, but I really do try to keep it straight. And the image quality of I can make a 300 DPI image by saving as a certain file, and that is extremely acceptable.
Okay, so you take your 3 megabyte JPEG and you put it into Lightroom, and then you save it as a 65 megabyte TIFF, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you open it up into Photoshop.
I honestly, I have it, but I don't use it. Because I'm really moving so many images, I do not have time to fiddle with Photoshop.
Yeah, but if you've got...
I do all of that on Lightroom.
But okay, so you've now made it a 65 megabyte TIFF that's going to Getty. Then you export it as a JPEG?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't take TIFFs at Getty.
Right.
But they will take large file JPEGs, and they have specific requests for how big what the size is and how big the file is. And so if you can't get to that level, you know, that's probably how they would bounce photos if you're trying to make it in that world of stock photography.
So how big is your process JPEG when it's said and done?
It'll be about generally 50 megabytes, and it'll be about 2400 by, you know, 3000 or whatever in the size file at a 300 DPI. So it converts all of what is on the phone image and will convert it to any format, and looks pretty damn good. And I don't ask any questions.
It will definitely look different from the 3 megabyte JPEG and then the process TIFF that will look a lot different.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it really looks good enlarged. You know, when you click on it, it looks good. Again, I'm not saying that this is going to be wall gallery art material, but it will create a really beautiful 8x10. You know, in those sizes, one that does not blow out, one that holds the resolution.
I have a 20x30 hanging behind me right now.
I see it.
It was shot on an iPhone 8. So
I'd have to come and inspect that.
Yeah, this looks pretty good. Let's talk about three of the photos that you posted on Facebook as some pretty great iPhone photos. I want to start with this peacock. Okay, you did a peacock with the feathers all extended, which is probably one of the hardest things to do. You see a peacock, you go, oh boy, a peacock, great. And then you go over to take a picture and it doesn't do the NBC thing.
Yeah, the goat moves.
Right, or it walks away. And you know, one of the things about the iPhone is we don't have, you've got to be really quick.
Yeah.
And you could miss that moment. So tell everybody about this peacock shot.
Well, this is photographed in a park in Austin, Texas. We were walking through the park and there were peacocks everywhere. They were on the roofs, they were on the walls, they were walking all around the grounds. And I tried walking up to a number of them before they would scatter off and in some cases try to fly away. This one was right there. I mean, I just dropped my hand down with the phone. I didn't even have to bend. I just dropped my hand down and clicked the phone. And that kind of mosaic that was created by the feathers out and everything was in focus. I mean, this is the beauty of this technology. It's just absolutely crisp. And this is definitely one that would probably blow up good.
And this is just put my finger on the white shutter and snap.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, that comes from the old news days where, you know, you're kind of doing Hail Mary stuff. A lot of sports photographers do Hail Marys at the end of a game, trying to get shots of the coaches and stuff like that. You just have to know the equipment. And, you know, I trust this phone to find the focus and be there almost 99% of the time. Occasionally the phone, if I'm not paying attention, the phone will not find the focus. And if I'm doing something close. And I'm just absolutely thrilled with the way that the phone responds.
So for this peacock shot, did you do 50? Did you do one? Did you do 10? I mean, how many did you take?
I did exactly one.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow. That's it.
It would not be, I think I probably took 50 pictures in that park, but I only took the one of that particular peacock.
Wow. And you didn't do vertical and horizontal and left and right. And you just got that shot.
Yeah, no, but you know, the drill. I mean, I am an old news photographer who, you know, every assignment you had to go out and get the vertical, get the horizontal, get them on a colorful black background, get them on a black and white background. I mean, you know, it's, I'm free of all of that these days.
Right. Well, it's an amazing photo, and I will post it in the show notes at the iPhonePhotoTeam.com. So be sure to check it out. You also had a beautiful landscape in Wyoming. It was one of the iPhone shots. And you were doing a series from Wyoming this summer, and day was just knocking me out.
Trip of a lifetime up to the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone. The last, it was almost 3 week trip, at the end of September, the season was coming to a close, and they shut down all the lodges and everything. And my wife and I were staying at the, Lake Yellowstone Lodge, or not Yellowstone Lodge, sorry, Lake Jackson Lodge. And, in the Tetons, and we had a room upstairs, room with the deck. And I shot that right off the deck. It was just a wonderful, magical afternoon as the light is going behind the mountains. The phone really, truly responded to all the varying tones and colors. And it was almost, it's almost past prime on the fall color, but managed to get those trees in the foreground. It was just a special time, and it's a special place. And I did, that's a funny thing, is I'm out doing the landscape thing with my real cameras, and I'm almost always taking the same shots with my phone, just because I want to see how well it performs. And so I have a lot of that kind of photography, real iPhone. And I used to post that stuff and make it a little contest, real camera, iPhone.
Well, I think you did this summer, didn't you?
Yeah, I have done that.
You did a 5D versus the iPhone, pick it, which one is which? Didn't you do that?
And everybody was getting it wrong because they love the color rendition that the iPhone throws out. And I try to, do apples to apples. I don't really want to show something that's been completely over-engineered that's a real camera photo. And the same goes for the iPhone. So I try to put similar pictures up before they get processed, or maybe after they get processed. But most people, they're drawn to the saturation of the color and the wide spectrum, or the ability of the phone to capture that detail in all kinds of shade, sun, mix, both. I mean, it really, automatically just delivers almost every time. And so when I do those fun little, iPhone versus real camera, 90% of the people are picking the wrong picture.
Yeah.
Because, you can't really tell. You can't really tell when you're putting them up on a phone or you're putting them up on your laptop, or if you really want to tell the difference between an iPhone and a real camera image that is virtually the same, you got to really blow it up to look at it. But when it comes to just viewing it on a phone, gorgeous, gorgeous color.
What do you do for backup? How are you backing up all your iPhone photos?
Okay. So, once they go into Lightroom, and I made all the various copying, various folders in various sizes, I save all that to an external hard drive. And then I do something really sacrilegious. I take all those images off my phone to get ready for the next shoot. I don't wander around with 1,000 images on my phone. Once I have copied them and created them the way I want to finish them, and I have stored them externally and sent them off to Getty or do whatever I do, it's one of those things where I feel extremely comfortable just deleting them off the phone.
Okay. So you say you move them to an external drive.
Yeah.
I'm on my desk, I've got over 10 of them, if not more. I assume you have a bunch as well.
On your desk?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have all kinds of photos.
Drives.
Oh, yes. Gosh. Well, as you can imagine, when you have 65,000 images, and that's just the images that have gone to Getty, you're talking about boxes and boxes and boxes of disks and hard drives. And I mean, it becomes a real, you know, it becomes a real storage, physical storage problem, not a digital storage problem, but a physical storage problem. Yeah.
Now, what about online? Are you, you know, most people can access their photos, whether that be iCloud, SmugMug, MyLeo, Amazon Photos, etc. There's a dozen little choices there. What's yours?
I don't do any of them. I don't save any of this stuff. I don't work on the iCloud. I don't save anything to the iCloud. I get messages every day from Apple wanting me to buy some more space. It's old school. If somebody could convince me that that's the way to work, I don't work. I don't do all my editing on the phone. I'm not doing my editing in real time.
But you do have multiples of all these images on multiple drives.
Yeah. No, I have them in a number of places. And I actually do one step further. If there's something that's really intriguing, something that's very cool, I'll process that image one step further and save that, in large format and low res. And I will save all of that and burn it to a disk, or and then eventually that gets sent to what I call the top edits. So I have the creme de la creme of everything that I shoot saved separately and saved in addition to all of the daily work. So the workflow is the thing I think that hangs up a lot of photographers. They get lost in all the photography. And they have a hard time putting their finger on it and knowing where it is. And so, I have a program, it's called Photo Station. It's kind of an old thing. It's similar to Photo Mechanic. When I'm captioning photos and sending them to Getty, all of that material is saved on a different computer. And if anybody wants to see a picture of mine, just go to Getty Images and then search in the editorial function, click on the editorial, type in my name, and you can type in Solvang or type in Santa Barbara or type in anything, and you'll pull up pictures, all kinds of pictures. And some of them will be iPhone photos and some of them won't, and you won't be able to tell the difference.
Well, you also have a website. Do you put a lot of photos up on there as well?
I do. I think where the real action for me is right now is on Instagram. I'm at George Rose Photo, at George Rose Photo. And for me, it's about the single image. I don't post videos there. I don't post multiple images. I just post really great single image photos on Instagram. I'm very active on Facebook, and I do love telling stories on Facebook. It's a completely different platform that is conducive to going into more detail and showing more than one or two pictures. And I don't exactly post the same material on Facebook as I do Instagram.
Are you George.Rose on Facebook?
I am George Rose Photography. I think that's how it comes up.
Okay, well, I'll have links to all this in the show notes at the iPhone Photo Team. Before we go, you take a morning walk, I take a morning walk. I want to come to Solvang and take a morning walk with you and have it on video for an episode of Photo Walks TV. Cool. What do you think?
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
And as we know, this is the best time of the year to do those morning walks anyway, right?
It is. And you know what? It's been incredibly crowded. The holidays have been incredibly jammed. But the weekends are always fun because it's a little bit less crowded, but still you can really get a good handle on what's going on in Solvang.
All righty. Well, hopefully we'll see you real soon. George Rose Photography, at George Rose Photography on Instagram and on Facebook, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm at Jefferson Graham on Instagram. You guys know where to find me. Stay tuned for, I'm going to fill you in on the winner of the contest, but I'm going to thank George for being here. It's been great talking to you again.
Hey, Jeff, great to see you, and good luck, and let's do that Solvang meetup.
Before you go, it's time to announce the winner of the December iPhone Photo Team Contest. Every month, we encourage folks to submit their work to get inspiration, to show off the best of what's possible on the iPhone, and to win a prize. So in this case, the winner gets a free one-year subscription to SmugMug worth over $100. And SmugMug is fantastic for backup, for showing off your online portfolio, for hosting your website, for selling prints. There's a lot there. So Dwight Bowman from Mission Viejo, California, he wins the December contest. He titles his photograph, "A Story Created in an Instant." Basically, what you're looking at is a man and a young girl looking out into the water, seeing a guy in a parachute over the ocean. And it's dramatic. It tells the story. It's in black and white, which gives it a classic look. The sky is gorgeous. Capo Beach is where he shot it, and that is short for Capistrano Beach, which is near Dana Point, California. Dwight Broman, you are the winner of the December contest. Folks, don't forget to please submit your work for the January contest, where, again, we'll have a free one-year subscription to SmugMug announced at the end of the month or probably early February. Go to the iPhonePhotoTeam.com to submit your work. It's free. It won't cost you anything. And the pictures that are shown there are just absolutely amazing. I know I'm blown away every day, and I think you will be too.